Well, as we return to those words in Haggai, I wonder if for a moment, just close your eyes and imagine life after COVID, or at least when things have changed enough that the restrictions can be lifted and we can go into what's often called the new normal. Imagine that situation. Imagine what your life will look like at that point, or what you hope it looked like. What are the things that you're most looking forward to being able to do again and experience again? What are the things you're most excited about, that you're most longing for when those changes come, as you think about life after COVID? As you open your eyes again, I imagine there's probably quite a long list of things that you're looking forward to changing, that you long to be able to do again, or to be able to do in the way that you could before. And as we think about all of those good things that we're looking forward to, I hope that our journey through Haggai will help us to focus our minds on what's most important. With all those good things, our minds would stay focused on what's most important. That we'll be able to live well in this continued lockdown period, and also prepare well for that new normal, whenever that comes, and whatever it looks like, and whether it's all that normal after all. And we need help to focus our minds, because as humans, we can be very easily distracted, can't we? We can be distracted even when important things are happening. Is that a squirrel over there? Some of you looked, and there's no squirrel. Oh, is there? No, don't get distracted. There's no squirrel. And even if there is, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we can get easily distracted, and we need help to focus our minds. I hope that our journey through Haggai will help to do that, because Haggai, when he first spoke, was speaking to people who were distracted. Distracted from some important work that they'd been given to do, some very important work. And the important work that they had been given was the work of rebuilding the temple. There had been a temple, it had been destroyed, they were rebuilding it. It was very important work. And why was it such important work? Well, at one level it was important because God had told them to do it. That's quite important, isn't it? But when God told his people to build a temple, this wasn't just a random kind of instruction that he threw out. This wasn't just a test to see what they would do if he asked them to. It wasn't just a big vanity project that he wanted his people to do. But when he gave this command to build a temple, this was a commandment that was filled with love. Great divine love. Because of what this temple represented in the past, and what this rebuilt temple would represent. That this temple was a place of relationship. This was a sign of God dwelling with his people, God being with his people, among his people. Some of you will remember in our Exodus series last year how we had some visible signs of God being with his people. We had the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And if we continue Exodus later in the year, which we might do, we see a visible sign of God being with his people as they make a tabernacle, a kind of special tent. Well, tent's probably too small a word, but a special structure. And then there's the temple. And here, this rebuilt temple, this sign of God being with his people, wanting a relationship with his people. And so the people should rebuild this temple, longing for that relationship to continue. Because it's not just a place of relationship, it's a place of reconciliation and forgiveness. Because the people in Haggai's day, just like people today and people throughout history, are people who have sinned, who have disobeyed, who haven't lived as God has called us and commanded us to live. And for that sin, we all deserve to face God's punishment. But in the Old Testament, God gave his people this system of sacrifices that they could offer in the temple. Sacrifices to deal with sin. They could deal with sin because they pointed forward to a greater sacrifice that was still to come, Jesus. So the temple was a place of forgiveness and reconciliation. And the people were distracted away from that task of rebuilding it. And it wasn't just a place of reconciliation and forgiveness for a small group of people. That God's plan has always been to bring blessing to nations across the world, to people from all over the world. And the nation of Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, reaching out with the good news of salvation and love and life. And the temple, you read through the prophets and you have lots of pictures of people coming to the temple in Jerusalem, that they would come to this focal point of this relationship with God and come to know him. It's important work to rebuild this temple, this place of relationship and reconciliation, this place for nations to find salvation and life in God. And the people, they got distracted and abandoned the work and stopped it. And they were saying in verse 2, the time's not come. It's not time to rebuild the house of the Lord. Maybe some point in the future, but not now. And you can reflect later on what exactly lies behind those words. There may be some of the residual fear of opposition that they'd experienced in the past. Maybe just discouragement at the situation that they were in, that they hadn't experienced the great victories that they had perhaps been expecting. Or maybe it was also just a nice sounding excuse to cover other priorities. That they'd been distracted away from God's priorities, invest in their own priorities. Distracted away from God's priorities of relationship and salvation to focus on their own self-centered priorities. So in verse 4, although they said it's not time to build the house of the Lord, they did think it was time for them themselves to dwell in panelled houses while this house lies in ruins. Rather than investing in building the temple, they'd invested just in building their own houses and making sure their own houses were complete and comfortable for them to live in. And if the temple was going to be built, maybe at some point in the future, but certainly not now. Distracted from God's priorities to focus on their own priorities. And I wonder if that sounds familiar. Isn't that a story that's played out in each of our hearts in different ways? If we think about how we grow up in this world, we grow up as people who like to focus on our own priorities and what we want most and what we want best. We learn that as children and we continue it in our lives. And not just focusing on our priorities and needs instead of other people's, but focusing on our priorities instead of God's priorities. Even though God is the one who's made us and he's made this world and he gives us everything, he's the only reason some of us can be here this morning, and he's the only reason that some of you can join us from home. And he's been clear about what his priorities are for this world in his word. He's spoken clearly. We focused on our own priorities instead of God's. The Bible calls that sin, that attitude that we show in all sorts of ways. Now, some of us joining this service today have experienced something of a change in our lives, whether we can remember a specific moment of change, like the specific dating here or not, that God has shown us that there is something more than just our own priorities. That God hasn't just abandoned us to a way of life that leads us away from him. That he has shown us there's something more in this universe than just our own lives and our own priorities. That there is a better way of living than just living for ourselves. And some of us have known that change in our lives, where God has reached in and turned us from living just for our own priorities and learning what it looks like to live for his, as he's given us new hearts that follow a new way of life, being concerned with what pleases him, not just what pleases us. And even if we've known that change in our lives, even then, we can still get distracted, can't we, from what's most important. That we can still be distracted away from God's priorities to just think about our own. That we can lose our focus. That we can invest in lots of things that are good things. Just like the people building their houses. It was good for them to have houses to live in. That's a generally good thing, to have somewhere to live. That wasn't the problem. But we can invest in good things with the wrong priority level. Or we can invest in good things for the wrong reasons. Not because of putting God first and seeking to live for his priorities. So we can be distracted. And what's true generally in our lives is also true specifically when we think about the building project that we're involved in, if we're Christians. I'm not talking now about a physical building project. I'm not talking about us building some kind of annex for this building or even repainting the walls, although we will do that at some point soon. But not a physical building project, a spiritual building project. A spiritual building project that's not about the church as a building, bricks and mortar, but about the church as people. People in whom God dwells by his Spirit. People among whom God lives by his Spirit, where God makes his presence known. Just as he made his presence known in that focal point of the temple in the past. And then in Jesus, his Son, the Word become flesh. So now in his church, his Spirit lives in his people. It's a building project. We sang about it earlier on when we talked about the church having a foundation. It's a building work, isn't it? And you get at the end of Ephesians 2 that we're being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We get the same language in other places in the Bible, that we are a temple, a building for God. Where people gather together as like living bricks inside this temple, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We have this privilege of being part of this building project, to be part of this people who know relationship with God, even though we've sinned. Who know reconciliation with God and friendship, even though we continue to sin. And people that God uses to share that good news of salvation and life with people all across this world. And we have the privilege of being builders ourselves, that God uses us to build this building, that we have the privilege to serve as builders as we pray, as we encourage each other, as we use the gifts that God has given us, as we use our time and our resources, and as we speak about this Jesus who we've come to know with others who don't yet know him, that they might come and be part of this big building project that God is doing in our world. This building project that is such important work, and that is eternal work, that has eternal significance as God is bringing together people who will be with him forever. This is important life or death work, and each of us is called to have a place in it as we pray and encourage and serve and share. And if we put God first in our lives, then one of the ways that will work out is that we'll take our place in this building project seriously. But we can be so easily distracted, can't we? Distracted away from those great, eternally significant priorities into something much smaller and less significant. And I wonder, I think about my own daydreaming about life after COVID. I don't know if you're like me, that sometimes you have those moments where you just think about what it's going to be like. You have that daydreaming about life after COVID. How much of that daydreaming is just a self-centered wish list, a very selfish to-do list? Or how much of it is actually about God's priorities in all areas of my life, including in this building project that He's graciously invited us into? And all of those good things that I think about in the future that I'm longing to be able to do again, am I thinking about those things with the right priority level, for the right reasons, longing for God to be honoured in all areas of my life? As we think about those questions, we think about what our daydreaming looks like, where God's priorities fit into that, Haggai says three words that I think we'll find helpful. Three words he says twice. Consider your ways. He says it in verse 5, consider your ways. And again in verse 7, consider your ways. But God speaks through Haggai and tells them to consider their ways. He tells them to look around them. How is life working out for you? That's what he's calling them to do. Look around and think about how life is working out for them. And as they look around in verse 6, they'll see that life is not working out as they had hoped. That they weren't enjoying the satisfaction of life that they had wanted. They had food, yes, but it was never enough. They had drink, but that was never enough either. And they did have money, but it was like they were putting their money into a bag with holes because it never went as far as they wanted it to go. So he had some stuff, but it was never enough. They were never satisfied. And as they consider their ways, again in verse 7, God continues to speak through Haggai to say that it's actually the Lord himself who has made this happen. I, says the Lord in verse 11, I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their neighbours. And the people in Haggai's day should have looked around and remembered some words that God had spoken in the past, where God had warned his people that if they continued to disobey, certain things would happen, called curses. You can read about them later in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. They're not the happiest chapters in the Bible, just to warn you, but they're the sort of thing that God's people here should have looked around, seen what was happening, and considered and reflected that maybe God was trying to wake them up, to lead them to turn from their wrong priorities and to turn to focus on his priorities. Now, there isn't a direct line between what was happening in Haggai's day and what's happening today. Now, we live, if we're Christians, under a new covenant, not like the old covenant that Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are part of. We're in a relationship with God where any curse that we deserve has been taken by Jesus on the cross. But at the same time, God does work through the events of our lives. He works to teach us, to shape us, to remind us, even to discipline us. And as we look around the world at the moment, where there's been such disruption and things are so different from what we would want, maybe it's a good time to consider and to reflect on what God may be teaching us. Perhaps God is teaching us through this time that some of the things that we valued so much in the past are not as satisfying or secure as we thought they were. Maybe God is reminding us again that the most valuable thing we can have in this world is our relationship with him. That we can be made redundant, We can lose lots of possessions. We can have our family relationships disrupted. We can even have our health affected. We can lose our lives. But if we know God through Jesus, nothing can take that away, and nothing can be more valuable. There is no greater thing than knowing Jesus, and through him knowing our Father in heaven. Maybe God is using this time to prompt us to think, to reflect on what's most important to us, what's most valuable. And maybe to remind us of how urgent this building project that we're involved in is. The urgent need to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to serve each other, and to share this good news with people around us who don't know about this hope in Jesus. Maybe God is at work through this period, shaping our priorities and reshaping our priorities, transforming our priorities, that more and more we would learn, as Jesus says, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you. That we would seek first God's priorities, God's kingdom, God's work. And as we do, we'll find that he blesses us well beyond what we could imagine or deserve. What's God teaching us at the moment? And it could be that for some of us, we need to learn these kind of lessons for the first time. It could be that you're joining this service, maybe online, and when the first lockdown started last year, which feels like a long time ago, that you weren't particularly interested in God. You didn't give much thought to God. Maybe you were even quite hostile to the idea of God. You didn't like the idea of God. And it may be that you're joining this service today because this last year has made you think. Made you think about what does matter. Made you think about whether there is more to life than just going to work, making money and retiring, and then that's it. Whether there's more to this time than just going into lockdown and waiting until you can go out of lockdown again and go back to life as it was before. Is there more to life than just that? And if that is you, the good news is, yes, there is more to life than just that. There is more to life than just what I can achieve with my own hands and those short-term making money and retiring priorities. That there is this great eternal plan that God is working out, where he's bringing together people who will enjoy relationship and life with him forever. People who have sinned, who've disobeyed, who don't deserve to enjoy this life with God. But people who can be part of this wonderful plan through Jesus, God the Son, who came and lived and died for people like us. So as we trust him, if we come today and pray and ask for forgiveness, and we can know that forgiveness, we can know a welcome from the arms of heaven. We can be part of this great building project, this great family of God's people, and we can be involved in God's purposes forever. Even if we've messed up in lots of horrific ways in the past that we're even aware of today, we can find a place in this plan through Jesus. A secure plan, a secure life that nothing can take away. If you already know this Jesus and you're already trusting him, then maybe that today we need to learn from the words of verse 8 in Haggai chapter 1, where the Lord of hosts says, "Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house." Now, I don't think that you should actually go up to the hills and get some wood. Aside from anything else, you get a fine of some kind if you get stopped by the police. Don't do that. But listen to the point that Haggai is making, that now is the time to live with God's priorities. He's saying now is the time to build the house. So for us too, now is the time to live with God's priorities, to seek to build this house, to play our part in this building project, and to live for him in every area of our lives. And maybe what that means for us to start with this afternoon is when we get home or when we've settled down after our lunch, we can pray by ourselves or with whoever we're spending time with at the moment, that we can pray that in our lives we wouldn't be distracted away from what's most important. We'd have minds focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that he'll continue to bless us as we do. Praying for God's help to listen to the words of Haggai. If we want to live well in lockdown and when the new normal comes, let's keep considering our ways together. And let's keep focusing our minds on the work of our gracious God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for how you are at work in this world. We praise you that you invite us to come to you through Jesus, to be part of what you're doing in this world, to know life and relationship with you forever. We confess that we don't always live as we should in this world, that we can be distracted. We can invest in the wrong things, or we can invest in the right things for the wrong reasons. You know what goes on in our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would help us more and more to focus our minds on you, your kingdom, your work, and what's most important. You'd help us to encourage each other this year, so you live with your priorities in mind. And I pray for any who are joining the service who haven't yet come to know this good news for themselves of what you've done for us in Jesus. And I pray that you would continue to show yourself, to reveal yourself as a gracious God who brings life. We give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our final song today to help us reflect on what we've heard from Haggai is Take My Life and Let It Be. It's a song that goes through each part of our lives and prays that God would help us to live for him in each moment. And if you're in the building, again, we just reflect on these words. And even if you're at home, you may prefer to reflect on these words, or maybe to sing it through once, then rewind the video and reflect on these words again, to make this our prayer together as a church.